Hello out there. Welcome to your next mission video podcast. In 1925, Dr. Carter G. Woodson planned the very first week-long observance of Black History. Now we're here 100 years later observing Black History Month and its theme, A Century of Black History Commemoration. We'll discuss the theme and race relations in the military coming up next.
Welcome to your next mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, where we take care of our own, with additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I say it every week. We love them, too. Today, we're talking about a century of Black history commemoration and discuss race relations in the military. And I'm excited to introduce an Army veteran, today's guest, Lieutenant Colonel retired Dr. Maurice S. Pickett. Sir, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, SMA Till. It is my pleasure to be here with you. I'm really looking forward to our discussions
today. I'm looking forward to, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today. But there's always a but with everything. Before we get started, could you please tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely, my pleasure. Hey, I'm a small town boy from Hawkinsville, Georgia. I was raised in a household where I was one of seven kids, graduated high school, attended a junior college 11 miles away. But I had a little hiccup during my first quarter in college, got my high school girlfriend pregnant. Became a father after my freshman year, forced me to grow up, which in turn led me to the United States Army by way of going by the Air Force recruiters first, and they turned me down. So I went to the Army, and April of 1982, became an enlisted soldier in the Army as a 71 Lima, off to Germany, back from Germany to Florida in 1984 late, and got commissioned in the United States Army Quartermaster Corps in 1986, and 20 years later retired in August of 2006.
Well, did you just stay just 20 years? Is that what it was? Or
just 20 years of duty as an officer and 3 years as an enlisted. So,
well, you know what I got to tell you now? I stayed 36, so you got to say you quit too early there. You just stayed a little bit longer.
Hey.
And, let me ask you, I got a bunch of questions here for you. How did the Army change your life?
Well, you know, I think the Army definitely changed my life, SMA Tilley. And honestly, I don't think I'd be the person I am today and where I am today if it were not for the Army. I know the Army made me a better man and a leader, of course, and it also helped me to grow up at an early age. You know, joining the Army reinforced what I learned from my parents and my elders back home. You know, and I take that from 92 today. You know, you treat people and judge people based on their character, not what they look like. So I think the Army helped me along with that. One team, one fight, that's still, what I live by today. So the Army, I give all of that to the Army.
Well, you know, everybody I talk to tells me the same thing, that the Army certainly changed them a lot and it really made them a better person when they went in the Army and then got out of the Army, that's for sure. Do you think race relations are better in the Army than in civilian life?
Yes, I do. Although it's not perfect, I think the military is further along than civilian society. The Army's made up of everyday Americans from all walks of life, all communities. But I think our Army has transformed over the years, and race relations are much improved from the World War I, II, Korean, and Vietnam War eras, of course. You know, and I think you know as well as I do, in the Army, we don't care about where you come from. We care about what you do, doing your job, because we depend on one another, and we want to make sure we are able to get the unit's mission accomplished.
Well, I think the difference is we're working shoulder to shoulder with each other all the time. You get to learn a lot of things that you probably don't really get to learn in the civilian life. So you're a lot closer in condition. In fact, I told somebody not too long ago, I said, in wartime, I don't think I ever asked what color somebody was to my left or right. I didn't really care. Yeah. Could you do your job? And that's what I was always looking for. Hey, you or we retired. I know you retired over 20 years ago. And do you think race relations are any different today in today's Army than they was maybe when me and you served?
I would like to say that race relations are better. But again, I'll start by saying I don't think any institution, whether it's in the military, you know, federal service, it's not perfect. But I still think in the military, it's better than being out there in civilian society. You know, and present day, though, I do have a couple of concerns, especially when it comes to the new standards that we see soldiers walking around with, soldiers, sailors, and airmen, if you will. And to a small extent, anyway, politics have taken place or taken root inside of our armed forces. You know, it's different. You know, uniform, grooming, discipline, appearance, all of those things are very much different than when you and I were in the service, and probably a whole lot different than when you were in, since you had
a lot more time
than I have. You know, I almost cringe every time I see a soldier with a ponytail, with an unkempt uniform.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, you know, not meeting height and weight tape standards, if you will. Those are the things that I believe during our time, especially my time. Again, you know, I have to give deference to you because you did a lot more time than me. But those things like that, we consider that undisciplined, if you will. And I don't think it would have been tolerated during my time in service.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree, because I remember a lot of times where I'd, you know, inspect soldiers or check soldiers out, and there was a strict standard out there. And I wouldn't say they maybe went in a different direction than I certainly like. You know, the other thing, I'm going to go back to what we said before when you talked about coming in the military. I think one of the things that changed me in the military is, and I always talk about that, the circle of life. I think a lot of people stay in the same city, same state, same community for all their life. And I think what changes you in the military is you step out of that circle and you go into the military and you just start communicating with so many different people from different walks of life. And it just makes you grow and you learn so much. I think I told you on a prep call that I had a young lady one time that was talking about hair. We talked about hair standards a minute ago, but she was telling me about her hair. And I said, well, you need to get a haircut. She said, well, don't worry, I'll take it out. And I said, what do you mean take it out? So what she told me was how she took care of it. She was a minority female, black female. Mm-hmm. And she started talking about washing her hair, how many times she washed her hair and all that stuff. So anyway, the gist of the story here is that we just don't know enough about each other. And sometimes we're judging people by, you know, like you said, by the color of skin versus knowing that individual.
Correct. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, sir, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about why Black History Month is important for everybody, not just African Americans. So stay right there. I know you're not going to go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Sure. Yep.
This is your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, Cross Sergeant Major of the Army. If you're enjoying the discussion, and I know you are because we're talking about making our military better, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're commemorating Black History Month with Lieutenant Colonel retired Dr. Maurice S. Pickett. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing here on behalf of our veterans and their families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you no plans for or you plan on getting rid of, or some property you don't have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or that home donation button to support our work. We really would appreciate your support. Sir, at the top of the show, I mentioned that Dr. Carter G. Woodson put together the first week-long observance of Black history 100 years ago. In the century since, are there commemorations or moments that were especially meaningful to you personally?
Hey, SMA, I was 7 years old when Dr. Martin King Jr. was assassinated.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. Yes, sir.
And I can tell you, even then at a seven-year-old, I knew our communities were angry.
Yes.
They were hurt. And it almost set, you know, at least my community, the Black community, back to a state of hopefulness. And that wasn't a good feeling. But, you know, just like today's time, and there'll be times in the future, we had other leaders that emerged and we fought on. Now let's fast forward to the election of President Barack Obama. That was a proud moment in our community. It should have been a proud moment, not only for our community, but for all of America and the world. And you could tell it was such a proud moment by looking at some of the elder civil rights leaders and how it brought them to tears. It was historic because they never thought they'd see a Black person as the president of the United States. Now, fast forward to today. One would think that the U.S. would be a much further along when it comes to race relations. But sadly, my opinion now, Maurice Pickett's opinion on the country is regressive. Some Americans are showing the world who they are, but those of us who believe in democracy know that this is not what America truly is. It is my hope and my prayer that we show our citizens that the world we're better than where we are presently.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes, the military is always a lot better because, like I said, it's a melting pot. And I think sometimes you have groups of people that sort of stand out by themselves. So that makes it a little bit tougher. But I wish everybody, in fact, I know we never do that, but I wish everybody had to spend 2 years in the military.
I think it'd
make it a stronger country if we did that. Why, and I think you already mentioned that, but why is it so important for us to be aware of Black history?
Hey, you heard this quote before from Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
Those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And I don't know, for some reason, I mean, it's probably not only in America, but we're unwilling to study, teach, and inform all decisions, all of our citizens, of all American history. I read Black history should be not just a week-long or month-long learning experience. It should be an everyday event in our classroom at all levels. There are many contributions that have been made by Black Americans. I mean, think about it, this country was built on the back of slaves, that were brought over here against their will. So I think if we, focus on teaching Black history as part of American and world history at all levels, this world would be a better place. But as long as the majority refuse to acknowledge the sins of the past, don't think this nation and others will never achieve its full potential and prosper.
I can't disagree that. I don't know why people aren't. Sometimes I can't figure out why people don't want to talk about things that, happened years ago and why they're afraid to talk about those things. Do you know why? I mean, I'm not sure I understand what the real big issue is. I think just what you just said, I think history is important. I just like in the Army, it's a big circle. I mean, you talk about something, it just keeps coming around every 10 years or 20 years.
Right.
So I don't know why we don't want to talk about it or be open about it.
That's a good question. I don't either. I thought we would be well beyond these type of discussions in 2026, honestly. I say this to my kids, when I have my grandkids, I can take them to the aquarium, and kids are they'll run across other kids from Idaho, no matter where they are. But kids, they get in the room, they get in the play area, they play. And they find common ground, and that's what they kind of latch on to. We as adults need to do the same thing. And I think the only way we move forward as a people, as a country, as a nation, is learn to not judge, talk about, you know, our differences, and then let's move on beyond that.
Yeah. It's funny you talk about children, because children have no filters. And they just want to play and have a good time. And I think the problem is, as you get older, we put filters on ourselves that we're afraid to communicate. I tell people all the time, I'm real open about stuff. If I got a question, I'm gonna ask you how you feel about whatever, and I don't hold back. The other thing is that, again, to the strength of the Army, everybody's the same to me. The only difference is some have better skills, some don't, but it doesn't matter about your color. It's just based on who you are as an individual.
Correct. I agree 100%.
Yeah. Hey, on the prep call, well, you have role models and mentors who have looked, you know, you looked up for examples, and then the kind of man, or I guess you wanted to be in the future. Who did you admire when you was growing up, and what role model did you have?
Well, I'll tell you, the first gentleman that I admired each and every day was a guy who sat at the head of our table. That was my dad. I think my dad showed me and my brothers and sisters, too, what it is to be a man, be a husband, be a father, protect and provide. So I thank God that I had a great father figure, you know, great family environment, because he showed us what right looks like. Now, as for my Army career, many role models. Some were peers, some were subordinates, some were seniors. And I could tell you a few of them, because, you know, the list is too long if I had to go over everyone that's done something for me. But my first supervisor, when I was an enlisted guy at Desk Log Headquarters, you were Sergeant First Class Woodrow McFadden. You know,
I told you already. I know McFadden.
Right,
I've known him for years.
Right.
So go ahead.
You're talking about a young man, and I say a young man. He was older than, but making an impact on you, because again, he was what right looked like. And I still remember, you know, how he carried himself. He was the ultimate, consummate professional. And he epitomized being a soldier / leader. And I'll always remember him for that. Then, and when I got commissioned, I had an NCOIC when I was the 54th Air Support Group proper, because his name was Sergeant First Class Octavio Velasco. Again, another professional. The guy was willing to mentor, teach, spend all the time I needed, you know, to get me squared away to, you know, in order to be able to do the job at the best of my ability. So another guy I'll never forget. And then I move on to company command, where I had two first sergeants, Ernest Moody and then Joe Serpa. Both those guys, again, man, just straight. I mean, stalwart, cared about people, trained hard, you know, had high standards. And also had high standards of me. So I appreciate those guys. And then my CSM, when I was a company commander at the Water Supply Battalion, was Leon Max, another guy who took me under his wings. You know, he's like, hey, Captain, I know you're young. You know, you got to slow down a little bit. You got a little steam in your brain. Let me put you under my wings. And Sergeant Major Max took care of me as well. And then as a battalion XO in Korea, Command Sergeant Major Manny Torres. I don't know if I could have made it through that 13 months in career without him, because he was a common factor, not only for the battalion staff, but also mentored and guided those first sergeants and companies, man, like no other. So I really appreciate those guys and the impact they had on my career. Now, as far as seniors, you know, one of my personal mentors was the 46th Quartermaster General Pete Proctor. You know, he took me under his wings, I believe, when I was a young major, when I, you know, met him and had conversations with him and was able to just continue to reach out to him for guidance and mentorship throughout the rest of my career. Now, I'll tell you, one of the most brilliant officers that I've had the pleasure of being in the room was General Vince Brooks. First time I saw General Vince Brooks, he was a brigade commander in 3ID. When I heard that man speak, And the knowledge that he displayed and shared with everybody in that room, I was just in awe, because I thought I had seen a whole lot of smart and brilliant folks. But at that moment, I thought he was the sharpest officer that I'd ever seen in the military. And then, of course, you know, we had General Austin and General Austin, General Powell. We know what they did for our army and for our military at the department. But lastly, General Johnny Wilson was a guy when I was a young lieutenant. I had to meet him in Germany. He ultimately became the AMC commander. But General Johnny Wilson was a guy who was a staff sergeant in the Army, went to OCS and retired as a four-star general. So, you know, in the sustainment world, logistic world, everybody knows who General Johnny Wilson is and was and what he did for our Army and for our logistics corps. And also who we talked about during our prep call was my personal mentor today. Was the first general officer who graduated from the Florida A&M Rattler Battalion, Brigadier General retired Leroy Bell. General Bell, I mean, he took me as a son when we met years ago. He continues as my mentor today. And I'll tell you, at 94 years of age, that man is as sharp today as he was 40, 50 years ago. So General Bell is my hero today, tomorrow, and forever, because he will make the time to take any call from you, help you with anything, just mentor folks. He's back and forth to the Rattler Battalion. And I mean, he's just believing taking care of people. And I appreciate him for that.
Now you've really made me feel old, because all those people you mentioned, I know just about all of them. You know, so I've been around a long time. General Austin,
yes,
General Wilson, and all those guys. I've known all of them for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny that all of them had an impact on me also, because each time you get around them, the kind of things they do and the way they lead themselves and just the way they communicated with you. And they was all of them very open. I remember I called General Austin before he ever got to be the Secretary of Defense at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him and said, "Hey, sir, I need your help. Would you go be a guest speaker?" And somebody asked me to do that. He said, "Hey, Sergeant Major, not a problem." And he went out and did that for me. So he's a great guy. Hey, but things have changed here a little bit. Now you're in a position where the younger generations like me look up to you. What advice would you give a young black man or woman that's maybe coming in the Army? What advice would you give them?
Wow. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to talk to a lot of young people because of what I do in my alumni association and traveling across, especially across the state of Florida and sometime, you know, outside the state of Florida. But I tell any young person, you know, don't limit yourself. You can be whatever you want to be, all right? Don't let anybody rain on your parade or deter you from achieving, for one, setting goals and achieving them. And I also tell kids all the time, always have a thirst for knowledge. You can learn from anyone. And in learning from folks, sometimes you have to be open for some criticism. And then I'll tell them this too, SMA, don't box yourself in. Be willing to explore new things because, you know, I like to tell people this. You don't know what you don't know, because I didn't figure out my passion and what my path was until I was 30 years old and in the Army. But then I close it out with some folks when they ask, well, what did the Army do for you? I say, hey, look at me. I did a 23 years in the Army. I did another 13 years as a civil servant. You know, I got a bachelor's degree, two master's degrees, and a doctor of education. So I can say who to the Army because it did me right. Did me well.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. What you said, Amigo, the only thing that stops you is you.
Yep.
And then, so I'd add that. The other thing is, I think coming in as a new soldier, coming in the military, I think listen to people, communicate with people, be open mm-hmm. about what your issues are. Sometimes people sort of put themselves in a box and won't communicate. But the Army wants, or the military, not just military, I think civilian life too, want team players. They want people that want to work with each other and get the job done. So I think that's really critical, especially for the young people today. We talked about a little bit on the prep call, the social media aspect about things. Now people
right.
are sort
right.
of hooked on their phone and not doing anything else. But they need to talk
right.
a lot more. And I think that's if there is a downfall with social media, it's the fact that
yes.
people just don't communicate with each other.
Yeah. 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 Lack of interpersonal skills. That
Absolutely.
Is so correct.
Hey, this is a great discussion. We need to take one more break, but we still have more to talk about. So hang in there. We'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
Yeah. You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Lieutenant Colonel retired Dr. Maurice S. Pickett. Remember, this is your show. Please let me know what topic you'd like me to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-424-113 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Sir, we've been talking about race relations in the military and in the world at large. What do you think is the key to understanding the accepting people who aren't, you know, the same as you?
You know, we kind of touched on this earlier, but I think open and constant communication, being willing to have discussion without passing judgment. Again, I don't think the world, especially America and the world, ever advance itself until we understand all history, including Black history, and the contributions that Black have made, not only in America, but around the world. Because I think when we have that understanding, it encourages better citizenship. It is also important, I believe, to understand the plight of others beyond the stories, the ugly stories of racism and slavery. Again, until you address it, you're apt to repeat it. And I say when and only when that happens, individuals, communities, nations, and future generations will only come together when that happens.
I think the other thing, though, is, and we said it here a couple of times already, is a perception of something. Sometimes people think it's there and it's not there. That open communications, talking to people, listening and understand. If it doesn't feel right, then ask questions about it. The other thing is, going to events, when you have a Black History Month and you have a guest speaker or something, people that look like me ought to come and be a guest speaker. You know what I mean? Because we need to educate each other about those kind of issues that's going on. And a lot of times it may be a group of minorities talking to themselves. There need to be everybody in there talking to each other to figure out what's going on. I remember I was a guest speaker one time, a lot of times I get put to Fort Myer, it was Black History Month. And I've got to admit, I was a speaker, and there may have been only maybe two other people that were whites or Caucasians in that auditorium other than myself. And I thought to myself, man, we're missing a bullet right here. You know, people ought to come in and start opening up a little bit. I got to tell you one more story. When I was in Korea, have you ever go to Korea?
Yes. Yeah. 2ID.
So if you went downtown in 2ID, they had a country western bar. They had a black bar. You know what I'm talking about, different culture. And so when I was going down there one time, they said, First Sergeant, you can't go in that bar right there. I says, why? Because that's just for Black guys that go in there. You can't go in there. You know what I said to him? You know what I said to him? And I went in and said, I'm sorry. And I think sometimes people sort of try to push you in that direction. That's not right. We're all the same. There's nothing different. We all have a mission to get the job done. So,
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. You know, if we adopt what children do, everybody goes along, get along. They talk to each other. You know, they matriculate, have fun, play ball, do all those things. And that goes probably for most kids all the way through high school.
Absolutely.
You know, at some point during the learning process, the separatism, in my opinion, it's either taught or adopted.
Yeah. Okay?
And the good thing about the military, even for those who come in with that mindset, they either to adapt to military norms, all right, or they are sent home. And that's why I think the strength of the army, military, and armed forces gives a leg up on the rest of the civilian side, because we do have things that we can do. Like you said, you know, we break down the walls, the stigmas, and all those kind of things. And we put people together, and train together, they live together, you know, they spend the majority of their time together. And so places like Korea, when people, you know, they get to know each other because they have nobody else.
That's true.
Then they build lifelong friendships.
Yeah.
Lifelong friendships and acquaintances that stays with them forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got a lot of good friends in the military. They could call me tomorrow. It'd be like I talked to them yesterday. You know, I ain't seen them in 20 years or something like that.
Yep, exactly.
You know, I'm with you. I wish all of life could be like this, that there's no barriers, that people are open. I think the other thing, though, in our country that probably hampers us just a little bit, I think our movies sometimes influence kids. I think news media influences kids.
Yes.
I think you have certain people that just preach hatred on both sides of the
house,
and they just screw everything else up. So I think there's a way to, I wish there was a filter on there that they didn't, you know, keep doing that.
Well,
when I grew up, go ahead, sir.
No, I was going to say, you know, I think, you know, we talked about social media earlier.
Yeah.
I think our children have too much access in a lot of things. You know, we've gotten away from truly educating our kids to letting social media and electronics babysit them. And that, along with games and everything that on the games, you know, kind of dovetail into what you were saying about, you know, what's being fed to our kids. You know, it's taking a toll on our young folks in a large part, especially for young folks who don't have parents who are directly involved in everything they do every day.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing about social media, just because it's on social media doesn't mean it's right.
Hello.
Don't mean it's a truth. We talked about that a little while ago too.
Agreed.
So you got to be able to, filter that stuff. And usually when you're a young adult, it's a little harder because you don't know what's right or what's wrong. And you may be listening or being influenced by the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
So it really makes it bad. Hey, this has been a great discussion. And I appreciate you coming on the show, and you had a lot of great ideas. And I did, again, I appreciate just taking the time. Any final thoughts, anything you may want to share with the audience that maybe we didn't talk about or you want to reemphasize?
Well, no, I'm glad that you asked me to come on. It has been my pleasure. You know, when I was thinking about this today, you know, I couldn't help but remember the first time that I met the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army.
All right.
And then Command Sergeant Major Dwight Brown, the SEL at CENTCOM. Man, you know, I thought I was standing amongst royalty. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I was recently retired, and we were getting ready to go plaque off. And honestly, man, I was a little nervous around you, too. I was like, wow, I got to make sure I don't say the wrong thing and say something stupid in front of these guys who has probably combined 60, 70 years of service compared to my little 23. But no, I was just glad to have been introduced and in your presence, and we had a good time. But I just want to tell you, I think what you are doing is very important. And I want to tell you, the impact that you had on the Army and our soldiers was huge. You know, I remember reading some of your policy letters and directives and hearing the NCOs and First Sergeant and everybody talking about what Sergeant Major Army says. And it was well respected and appreciated. And I thank you for that, SMA Tilly. And you continue to serve, man. And I appreciate that as well. But I really do thank you for inviting me to the show. And anytime you need me to do anything to assist in anything you're doing, man, just reach out. I'm here. I'm retired. I have time on my hands, and I like to stay busy. So reach out anytime you need something.
God bless you. This has been great discussion. And again, thanks so much for coming on the show. God bless you. And hooah, I love it.
Hooah.
Thanks again, Lieutenant Colonel retired Dr. Maurice S. Pickett, for being with us. I'm Jack Antilli, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for joining us. Log on our website at yournextmission.org and check out our job board in partnership with Boot Military and Offline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can also follow me on all my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you like what we're doing at Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast releases. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatele at yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Lieutenant Colonel Pickett for joining us today. And let me tell you something. I love talking to soldiers. I love talking about things like Black History Month or race relations or how people treat each other. You see, God put us on this earth together. He didn't say you're going to be white, you're going to be black, you're going to be brown. He said we're all men and women on this earth, and we all need to enjoy what we're doing together as a country, as individuals, together, collectively, helping each other out. You know, I wonder sometimes why it gets a little bit worse before it gets better all the time. It's because we just aren't talking to each other. We don't understand each other enough. We don't understand the cultures of different people within our country. Learn about each other. Talk to each other. Don't sit there and complain. Find out what the truth really is. And I got to tell you something. Everybody that I serve with in the military, I love them. I'm not going to give them no money, but I love them. And I'll take care of them each and every day. So thanks for watching again. Thanks to Newmont Studios, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.